We're looking together at John's Gospel, chapter 8, and we've been looking at the section beginning at verse 31. It's headed in our church Bibles, "The Children of Abraham," and we've given this section the title, "Jesus, the Only Way to Freedom." Jesus is speaking here to a group of Jewish leaders. These are people who say they believe in him. And Jesus says to them, verse 31, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." There is only one way, says Jesus, that you can really be set free. You must hold on to my teaching. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, these people to whom Jesus is speaking, they are horrified by what Jesus says. Jesus has just said to them, "You will be set free if you hold on to my word." And that means that they are not free now. Now, we said that in the ancient world, there were only two types of people. There were free people, and there were slaves. That was the great division in society. So if these people are not free, then they must be slaves. Jesus is implying that these people are slaves, that they are people who need to be set free. And they are furious. Verse 33, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say we shall be set free?" You can see how indignant they are at the suggestion that they are slaves who need to be set free. Now, I tried a fortnight ago to explain the picture that we have in these verses. It's the picture of a household. And there are two types of people in the household. There are, firstly, the people who are actually part of the family. There's mum and there's dad and there's the children of the family. These are free people. But there are also the slaves. Now, they live in the same house. They probably eat the same food. They're involved in all sorts of ways in the life of the family. But they are still slaves. They are not really part of the family. Now, in this passage, it's God's household we're thinking about. The people to whom Jesus is speaking are all, in one sense, part of God's household. They worship God. They listen to his word. They pray to him. They try to live by God's rules. Yes, in that sense, they all belong to the circle of God's people. But the question is this: are they slaves or are they free people? Are they really part of the family? Are they truly God's children? Or are they just slaves in the household? Slaves who live alongside the family and feel at home there and share in the activities of the family in lots of ways, but who aren't actually part of the family. You see the distinction. Jesus spells it out in verse 35. "A slave has no permanent place in the family." but a son belongs to it forever. You see, two sorts of people living under the same roof. They're part of the same household. There are the slaves. They live there, but they've got no permanent home in the family. And then there's the freeborn sons of the family. And they really are the family. They belong to it, says Jesus, forever. And so the question is for these people, the people to whom Jesus is speaking, which category are they? All right, they are in a broad sense part of God's household. But are they slaves or are they really free? I'm sure you understand the picture. And you can see how relevant it is to all of us here this morning. There is a sense in which most of us, at least here this morning, belong to God's household. We're different from other people, aren't we? The people out there in the world, on the whole, they never think about God. Many of them say openly they're not interested in God. They've got no interest in the Bible. They don't want to worship God. They're godless people. But we're different. We're here this morning because we're different. You've come here to worship God. You listen to his word. You sing hymns about him. You've got Bibles in your home, and I hope you read them. You say your prayers. Maybe you do it as a family together. You see, it's true of most of us here at least, that we are different from the world. We're part of God's circle. It's true for the youngsters here this morning, for Mark Anthony and Matthew and Josiah and Philip and Timothy and Thomas and all the rest. You're all part of God's household. You're not like other children. You know your Bibles. You come to church with your mum and dad. You know the hymns that we sing. You know the tunes. And most of the time you try to keep God's rules. You don't swear like other children, do you? You wouldn't think of stealing from your mum or dad, but other children in school do it. You see, you're different from other youngsters because God put you in a Christian home. And so you've grown up knowing about God. In a way, you're part of this church. You belong to this circle, to this group of God's people. So I can say to you, you're part of God's household in that way. But what the Lord Jesus is saying here is this: that a person may belong to the household of God, but still not be one of God's own children. You can be all the things we said. You can come to church and you can read your Bible and you can enjoy Christian activities and you can do your best to keep God's rules, but none of those things will make you a child of God. You can be attached to God's people, and yet you can still be a slave to sin. Now that was the situation of these people to whom Jesus was speaking. These were the most religious, the most clean living people around. These were people who worshipped God regularly. Remember, this discussion is going on in the temple. They've gone up to Jerusalem to worship God in the temple. In all these ways, these people are part of God's household. But Jesus says to them, you are still slaves. You are not sons of God. And remember, he adds, verse 35, A slave has no permanent place in the family. One day God is going to cast you out. One day you're going to be rejected because you are not truly one of God's children. You see how emphatic Jesus is. He says to these people, these moral, religious people, he says to them, you are slaves. Verse 34, you are slaves to sin. Now that is the terrifying fact. That you can mix with God's people. As it were, you can live under God's roof. You can grow up in a Christian family. You can be clean living and religious and say your prayers every morning and every night. And you can still be a slave to sin. And more than that, in your heart of hearts, you can still hate Jesus Christ. Again, that was true of these people. Verse 37. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me. These people, for all their niceness, for all their morality, for all their church going, for all their worship, these people have no love for Jesus Christ himself. In fact, in their heart of hearts, they wish he didn't exist. They wish they could get rid of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because they resent the things he says. You are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. The Lord Jesus tells these people things they don't want to hear. He tells them that God is absolutely holy, and they don't want to hear that. He tells them that they must keep God's law perfectly, and they don't want to hear that. He tells them that God is going to punish every sin, and they don't want to hear that. He tells them that they must be perfect as God is perfect, and they don't want to hear that. He tells them that there's going to be a day of judgment, and that all the secret things they've said or done or thought are going to be brought to light, and they don't want to hear it. He tells them that there is a hell, a place of tormenting fire which burns forever. And they don't want to hear it. He tells them that life in this world, this life is unimportant compared with the life of the world to come. He tells them that they must love God with all their heart, all the time, in every way. He forbids them, absolutely forbids them, to gather riches on earth. And he tells them that they must seek God's righteousness first, and they don't want to hear these things. He tells them that it's a narrow road, a hard road that leads to heaven, and that there are very few people who get to heaven, and nobody gets there easily. And they don't want to hear these things. These are the truths that Jesus has brought to us from God. He says, verse 38, I'm telling you what I've seen in the Father's presence. And they don't want to hear these things. And so they wanted to silence Jesus. They wanted to kill him because they found what he said so uncomfortable. They don't mind listening to Jesus as long as he says comfortable things. nice things, but they don't really want to hear everything he says. That's why Jesus says to them at the end of verse 37, "You have no room for my word." Now, there are millions of people like that. They call themselves Christians. And yes, in that sense, they're part of God's household. They go to church and they get involved and they do their bit. And they shake hands with the preacher afterwards and say, "That was a lovely service." But when you start showing them what Jesus really taught, you see how uncomfortable they become. And then how angry they become. You see how much they hate what Jesus says. Preach to a group of nice religious churchgoers the words of Jesus: "Unless you repent, you shall all perish," and see how much they love Jesus then. Tell a respectable, middle-class, career-minded man that Jesus has simply forbidden us to lay up treasure on earth, that we are forbidden to accumulate possessions, and then see how much he loves Jesus' word. If you are a true child of God, then you will love the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you will love his words. You will love to hear Jesus Christ speak. Yes, at times what he says will make you feel uncomfortable. At times his words will cut you and hurt you, but you still want to hear them. You want to hear him say even the hard things, the painful things, because you love him and you want to hear everything he's got to say. That's the way a true Christian, a real child of God, listens to Jesus Christ. Have you ever had a quarrel with someone you love, and it's been your fault, and you've hurt your friend so badly, and the result is that all communication has broken down, and you're not speaking to one another? And the days go by, and the weeks go by, and there's no communication. And you're so lonely, and you miss so much being able to talk with your friend, and you want so much to hear your friend's voice, and you wonder if he's ever going to talk to you again. And then one day the phone rings, and you hear his voice, her voice, on the other end of the line. And there's this tremendous sense of relief inside you and an explosion of happiness. She's speaking to me again. And you don't really care what she's got to say or he's got to say. Maybe they're going to tell you off. Maybe they're going to say, "Never do that to me again." But it doesn't really matter. Anything is better than silence. The one thing you couldn't bear would be if your friend simply never spoke to you again. Well, that's the way a real child of God feels about Jesus Christ. I want to hear his voice. I want to hear everything he says. If he's got hard things to say, well, I want to hear them. If he's going to point out my sins, I want to hear it. If he's going to give me orders that are going to smash all my ambitions to smithereens, I want to hear those orders. I love all the words of Jesus Christ because I love him. I trust him. all the words of Jesus seem to me kind and wise and strong and right. I love him, and so I love his words. Now, is that the way you feel about Jesus Christ and his word? It's one of the great tests by which we know if we are real children of God, or if we are just slaves who happen to be mixing with God's people. The youngsters, do you love to hear about Jesus Christ? Do you love to listen to what Jesus has to say? You know, when your dad says, okay, time to put away the storybook. We're going to read the Bible now. No, switch off the computer game now. You can play with that any time. We're going to talk now about the Lord Jesus. How do you feel when your dad says something like that? Oh, it's boring. Why do we have to? Oh, let me just carry on watching for another 10 minutes. Is that the way you feel about the Lord Jesus? That he's boring? Do you really feel that you're more interested in games and videos and books than in hearing about the Lord Jesus? Learning the words of Jesus? Well, if that's the way you feel, well, it just shows that there's something terribly wrong in your heart. The dear Lord Jesus, who came down from heaven and died on a cross for sinners, you don't really want to hear about him. You don't really want to know him. You don't love him. Isn't that a dreadful thing? If it's like that, it just shows that you're not one of God's children. You're still a slave. You're still a slave of sin. So you see how Jesus here, step by step, spells out the real position of these people. They're religious, moral people. You could say they're part of God's household, but point one, they're slaves to sin. Point two, in their heart of hearts, they hate Jesus Christ and wish they didn't have to listen to him. But then there's another step in Jesus' argument, and it's the most shocking step of all. Jesus says this, end of verse 38, "And you do what you have heard from your father." The Lord Jesus has made it clear that they aren't God's children. So now the question is, whose children are they? Who is their real father? Jesus says, if you were children of God, you would love me. But no, you tried to kill me. You're doing, he says, what you've learned from your real father. Well, what do you mean? They protest again. Verse 39, "Abraham is our father," they answered. "No," says Jesus, "if you were Abraham's children, you would behave like Abraham did. As it is, you are doing," verse 41, "the things your own father does." Don't say that God is your father. Don't even say Abraham is your father. Abraham was a godly man. You've got a very different father, and you're doing the same things your real father does. That's what Jesus has to say to these people. Well, again they protest. End of verse 41. "No," they say, "God is our father." And again Jesus says, verse 42, "No, it can't be true. If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God." You see, again, that's the sign. A real child of God loves the Lord Jesus. Verse 43, "Why is my language not clear to you? Because you're unable to hear what I say. A real child of God understands Jesus' teaching and listens to it and accepts it and loves it. No, you can't be children of God, he says. So whose children are you? And then he answers the question, verse 44. You belong to your father, the devil. You are the devil's children. There is the third charge. First charge, you're slaves of sin. Second charge, you hate me. Third charge, you are children of the devil. Well, what an appalling thing for Jesus to say. Remember again who Jesus is speaking to. He's not speaking to the leaders of some horrible satanic cult. He's not speaking to a group of Nazi thugs. He's not speaking to a circle of paedophiles. He's speaking to members of God's household. He's speaking to people who work for God, religious men, men who attend church regularly, men who say prayers and put money in the collection. And he says to these men, you are Satan's children. Your father is the devil. I said right at the beginning this morning, most of us here belong to God's household. And that's true. Most of us here in some way are attached to God's people. And yet, here in this room, there are two types of people. Some of you are God's children. And some of you are the devil's children. And the dividing line between you is this. Some of you love Jesus Christ more than you love anything or anybody else. You are God's true children. And some of you in your heart of hearts do not love Jesus Christ at all. You're bored by him. Or you resent him. Or you put up with him reluctantly. But you don't love him. You are the children of the devil. Satan is your father. You see here in verses 44 to 46, Jesus speaks about Satan's character and how it can be seen in Satan's children. Verse 44, you belong to your father the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning. From the beginning of history, the devil has been a murderer. He's never had any love for God or for God's people. Right back in the Garden of Eden, he set out to destroy Adam and Eve. That was his desire. He wanted to rob them of life. He wanted their death, physically and spiritually. The devil is driven by hatred. He hates God. He hates God's people. All he wants is to damage and destroy. Now, these people want to destroy Jesus Christ. They've already tried to have him arrested. At the end of the chapter, verse 59, they're ready to stone him. Now, what does that prove? Well, it proves they're the devil's children. They've got the family likeness. Jesus says to them, you want to carry out your father's desire. They have no love for Jesus Christ. And that is why, in the end, there is no place for them in God's family. In the end, they're going to be cast out from God's presence forever. They're going to join their real father, the devil, in hell. Remember this. Everybody in heaven loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody in heaven is thrilled with Jesus Christ. He's the Father's dearly loved Son. And the Father in heaven is delighted with Jesus Christ. He is so proud of his darling Son. The angels in heaven think Jesus Christ is wonderful. They sing his praises night and day. The men and women who are in heaven, who have already gone to heaven, they adore Jesus Christ. They fall on their knees whenever they catch a glimpse of him, and they worship him joyfully. He's their great joy and delight. Heaven is vibrant with the love of Jesus Christ. There is no room in heaven for anyone who does not love the Lord Jesus. If you don't love the Lord Jesus, how could you go to heaven? Heaven isn't the place for you. You would never be at home in heaven. If you're bored with Jesus Christ now, if you find that it's a chore turning out to church on Sunday morning now to be with Jesus Christ and to hear his word, if you resent it when it's time for family prayers in your own home and dad reads about the Lord Jesus, if you don't love the Lord Jesus now, if you don't care about him, how could you ever be at home in heaven? Heaven is a place full of people who love the Lord Jesus all the time, talk about him all the time, worship him all the time. They're obsessed with Jesus Christ in heaven. And if you don't love Jesus Christ, then heaven isn't the place for you. God won't need to shut you out of heaven. You've shut yourself out of heaven. There's another place. The place we call hell. It's a place prepared for the devil and his angels. And hell is the place where nobody loves Jesus Christ. Not one of the creatures in hell cares. Is your natural home? Do you belong in heaven among the people who love Jesus Christ? They're God's children. Or do you belong naturally in hell with people who don't care about Jesus Christ? They're the devil's children. Do you belong with the people who adore Jesus? Or do you belong in the end with the people who murdered Jesus? There are only those two classes. Satan is a murderer. Satan is also a liar. Verse 44, we're told, that he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Satan hates the truth. He's completely corrupt. He's dominated by deceit. He's too proud to see the truth about himself. He's too full of hatred to see the truth about God. Satan is dominated by deceit. And that's true too of these people, the people to whom Jesus is speaking. They hate the truth. They hate the truth that Jesus has come to bring. That's why they're so reluctant to hear his words. The devil's children take after their father in that respect too. Again, I've got to ask, do you resent the things Jesus says? Do you prefer to believe comfortable lies? The lies that the people in our society tell one another all the time. Oh, there's no hell. Oh, God, we're all children of God, really. There's nothing to worry about. Those are the comfortable lies that people tell one another all the time. Do you believe them? the Lord Jesus Christ warns these people. He uses, as we've seen, three striking phrases to describe their real condition. They are slaves of sin. They want to kill him. And they are children of the devil. They have the seeds of murder and deceit in their heart. Is this good news? Is it good news? Is it good news to be told that naturally we are slaves of sin? Is it good news to be told that naturally we hate Jesus Christ? Is it good news to be told that naturally we are children of the devil and belong with him? Yes, it's good news. It's good news. I find it good news. Because what it means is this. That is God's assessment of me. And what it means is this. That God doesn't expect to find any goodness or any righteousness or even any truth in me. When God invites me to come and to be forgiven and to be saved, he knows already that I'm a slave of sin. He knows already that I'm a person who hates Jesus Christ. He knows already that I'm a child of the devil. He knows all those things, and knowing those things, he invites me to come and be saved. If I say, I can't become a Christian because I've got no love for the Lord Jesus in my heart, God says, well, I told you that. And I'm inviting you to come as you are. And I'll change your heart. If I say to God, I can't come, I'm a slave of my sins, God says, I know, I told you that. And I'm inviting you to come as a slave, and I'll set you free. If I say, I can't come, I'm more like the devil than I am like Jesus Christ, God says, I know, I told you that. And I'm inviting you to come as a child of the devil and to be remade, to become one of my children. Do you see it is good news to me that slaves of sin and people who hate Jesus Christ and people who are children of the devil, it's good news to me that God can invite people like that to come and to be saved. As many of us came in just that way. We knew that these things were true. And so we came as slaves of sin. We came knowing that we had no love for Jesus Christ. We came knowing that we were held in the devil's grip. We came helpless and hopeless and lost and guilty to the Lord Jesus himself. And he took us and he set us free. And he changed our hearts so that we have begun truly to love him. And he made us children of God. God grant that that might be the testimony of every one of us. Amen.